Trendstorm.
Our final topic, picked by you, dear listeners, earlier in a poll on our Facebook page, is Turkey and Israel, from best friends to worst enemies, focusing on the Mideast's latest and most impactful fault lines. The decades-long bond homing between Turkey and Israel appears to be on the brink of irreparable damage after each of their leaders threw fiery insults against the other over the latest violence in Palestine, with these two former best friends now on the path to becoming worst enemies. Turkey was the first Muslim country to officially recognize Israel's right to exist and even established high-level strategic relations with it, mostly due to American influence over Ankara in the early stages of the old Cold War and in the immediate run-up to the Mideast country's 1952 admission to NATO. These ties subsequently flourished into a trusting partnership that survived all sorts of tests throughout the years, most recently during the 2010 Gaza Flotilla incident. Nowadays, however, relations between the two allies are nearing the breaking point as Turkish President Erdogan behaves as Palestine's self-appointed international spokesman in condemning Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu for his military's treatment of the people in Gaza, which has earned him sharp rebukes that his many opponents have applauded and cheered on. As it stands, this is just a war of words that shows no signs of escalating into anything more serious, though words nevertheless have consequences, and the bilateral partnership could be irreparably broken if Israeli lawmakers go through with recognizing what Russia and many Western and Latin American countries already consider to be the Armenian genocide. This would be an unforgivable affront in the eyes of the Turkish nation and would likely lead to the immediate downgrading of relations with Israel and possibly an official rupturing of ties. While Palestine has emerged as the focal point of public discord in their strategic partnership, three other very sensitive issues can't be ignored either. Israel has expressed support for Kurdish militants in Syria and last year's separatist campaign in northern Iraq, both of which are seen by Turkey to be national security threats of the highest degree. Moreover, Israel's latest moves to build a so-called East Mediterranean pipeline through Cyprus's southern waters and eventually onwards to Europe challenges Turkish-backed northern Cyprus's claims to these maritime resources. And finally, Turkey's fast-moving and full-spectrum approach with Iran since the failure of the summer 2016 pro-American coup makes Israel extremely uneasy. Bearing in mind the aforementioned additional strategic factors, it's inevitable that Turkish-Israeli relations will experience more friction in the coming future. Folks, this is a very sensitive topic, and I'm pleased to announce that our first guest to come on the program and make some sense of this for all of us is Mr. Ahmed Ashfaqi. He's a Bangladeshi political commentator and founder and editor of Kutniti Blog.
Trendstorm.
Okay, Ahmed, what is it that upsets Israel the most about Turkey nowadays? Is it the nature of President Erdogan's stinging and highly publicized rhetoric in support of the Palestinian cause? Or, Ahmed, is it the symbolism of him trying to become the main spokesman of the larger international Muslim community via this issue?
Well, I think it's both of them. Israel and Turkey did have good relations from the Cold War era. Turkey was one of the first Muslim countries to recognize Israel, which was in 1948, I think. And since then, the secular Turkish governments did have a good relation with Israel. But however, since Erdogan, President Erdogan, came into power, him being a more of a Islamist sort of politician, he viewed Israel in a negative light. This was the case, obviously, after the 2008 Gaza attack by Israel, which was followed by the Turkish president calling Israel a terrorist state. However, after that, they did kind of attempt to rebuild their relation. But after there was another incident where the Turkish aid givers, the Fotila incident in 2010, were again attacked by Israelis. And that was taken very negatively by the Turkish establishment. And since then, Turkey has, mainly the Erdogan government, has been quite anti-Israel, in at least in the media. So I believe Turkey and Israel does still have a lot of business relations, commercial-based relations. Israel and Turkey both sell and buy natural resources from each other. So I don't think just President Erdogan being or taking an anti-Israeli rhetoric in the media is just enough to completely destroy their relationship.
I see. Okay, Ahmed. Well, I want to ask you about some of Israel's recent strategic outreaches to Turkey's Armenian, Kurdish, and Greek Cypriot neighbors, because these have understandably made Ankara very uneasy. But along the same lines, though, Turkey's own outreaches with Iran and especially Hamas have elicited the same uneasiness from Tel Aviv. So, Ahmed, in your view, which of these two is to blame for taking the first step in stoking distrust?
Well, Israel was always uncomfortable with Erdogan, I believe, even though they may not have expressed that clearly in the media or by Netanyahu himself. But Iran, like if you talk about Israel, you have to mention Iran. After the failed coup in 2016, Turkey started to work more closely with Russia and Iran in Syria. Well, not directly, but they kind of accepted the reality there, that the overthrow of the Assad government wasn't going to happen. So this brought Iran and Turkey kind of on the same page. And there were reports of Israeli agents being caught in Iran, which were kind of helped by the Turkish intelligence. This was one of the other reasons that Israel was unhappy with Turkey. Also, the Kurdish population within Turkey who had problems with the Turkish establishment for a long time. The Israelis support this in Iraq, Syria, and in Turkey, sort of. This is one of the reasons they're kind of against each other. And also, Turkish government, the Erdogan government, helped Hamas establish a political movement in Turkey. So this is not taken lightly by the Israelis. I think Erdogan being the president of Turkey was one of the trigger moments for Israel. This was seen as a move against Turkey, so maybe that's how Turkey is taking a stance against the Israeli regime at the moment.
Okay, I see, Ahmed. Well, the last thing I want to talk with you about today is how Israel and Turkey, as I understand from your conversation, are striving to become the poles of separate regional alignments in this so-called Greater Middle East region. So, Ahmed, both geopolitically and even to an extent ideologically, they are trying to do this. I mean, you brought up how Turkey is moving towards political Islam under President Erdogan. Now, how far do you foresee this strategic divergence between the two partners going? And do you see it as being more positive or negative in the overall sense?
Yeah, well, Turkey was founded upon the principles of secularism. However, that's being questioned under the regime of Erdogan. Well, Turkey still remains a secular country, but Erdogan being a more Islamist-influenced politician, he would want to establish his... Well, some people say he wants to reestablish the Ottoman Empire. I don't think that's going to happen in real. But he has that tendency of attempting to revive that kind of feel within the Middle Eastern region. But I don't think that's going to materialize as much because the Arab countries have this historic backlash with the Turks, especially when the Turks were overthrown by the Arabs in the 1800s with the help of the French and the British. But since then, the Turks were not taken, well, they were not trusted by the Arabs in that region, especially in the Gulf area. So I don't think Erdogan is going to have this. He has influence over a lot of the Muslim population within the area. However, I don't think the government of Erdogan is going to get significant influence over the different governments in the region. Some analysts have suggested that Egypt and Turkey might be working closely in order to work against Israel or to form an alliance. But that was kind of foiled as the Egyptian president, the Muslim Brotherhood president, Morsi, was overthrown by Sisi, general of the Egyptian army. I don't think Erdogan has that kind of an ally in that region anymore. Although he would still want to work with the existing governments, I don't think they would allow Erdogan to take a leading position in the geopolitics in that region at this moment.
Ahmed, this was a balanced review of Turkish-Israeli relations that drew important attention to the role that President Erdogan's movement towards political Islam played in changing his country's relations with Tel Aviv. So thanks a lot for explaining that to us. That's a very important point that we need to keep focused on. Now, folks, we're going to get a Turkish perspective on things by speaking to Mr. Levent Karaca. He's a Turkish political analyst. Trendstorm. Okay, Levent, how sincere is President Erdogan's rhetoric over the Palestinians, and what's the likelihood that some sort of action their support will follow, bearing in mind that a similar low point in relations was already reached during the 2010 Gaza flotilla incident, but both parties eventually reconciled?
I think President Erdogan, he seems pretty sincere. He's speaking about local and global, where others have not. Also, the religious significance of Jerusalem would be highly relevant to William Adam because of his theological education. Some actions have already occurred. The Israeli ambassador in Turkey and the consul general in Turkey have been sent back to Israel. This occurred even though there was a settlement of the Gaza flotilla this week, where the ambassador came back after a few years of not being in Turkey. So it looks very serious at the moment. Also, an OIC emergency session was called in Istanbul, and statements were made denouncing events in Israel. President Erdogan also called for a boycott of Israel. At the moment, it looks pretty serious, and I guess everything's being done in the international arena. Previously, Israel and Turkey reconciled because both sides are very pragmatic and realize both countries' interests in the Middle East are intertwined. Interestingly, as relations got worse between Turkey and Israel, the trade between the countries improved. I think this is independent of the governments. And I think I was looking at some stats. Turkey and Israel, 11th biggest trading partner at $1.4 billion.
Okay, I see. Well, you know, this is pretty interesting, Levent, especially how you mentioned the paradox of economic relations improving while political ones have been deteriorating. Now, in your answer, you mentioned the international arena, and I want to ask you to what extent Turkey's latest condemnation of Israel could be due to the two sides' disagreements over some, you know, interconnected international issues, the status of the Syrian and Iraqi Kurds, offshore energy interests in Cyprus, and Ankara's newfound strategic partnership with Tehran. So do you think that these are kind of contributing to the deterioration of relations?
Yes, I think these are contributing to deterioration. I think Israel, since the 1960s, has been openly and covertly supporting the Iraqi and Syrian Kurds. And I think this is a big thorn in relations between the countries. And I think it is interrelated. And definitely the Cyprus, the oil around Cyprus and Israel and Lebanon and Turkey is definitely a big issue. Reportedly, there's huge amounts there. So it definitely begins later. Previously, Israel signed some deals with all neighbors, Cyprus, Greece, Lebanon, Egypt, except with Turkey, for the extraction of the gas in the oil. So I think this definitely affects the relation.
Okay, I see. Now, if we take everything together, Levent, what would be the overall geostrategic effect of worsening Turkish-Israeli relations? And by that, I mean specifically in the political realm, because as you explained in response to the first question, economically, they're actually pretty solid. And Levent, what could realistically be done to pull both sides back from the brink of a full-blown regional rivalry in the theaters that we just discussed?
I think geostrategically, worsening relations between the two countries will negatively affect Turkey and Israel. Turkey's lobbying efforts in Washington and perhaps the UK could be good. But Israel, Turkey has been Israel's longest and perhaps the most important ally of Israel in the Middle East. So Israel's security would suffer greatly. So I think in terms of security and their national strategic things, it will definitely affect that. But also, worsening relations will affect the extraction of the gas in the river. So if relations were good, the cheapest and most cost-effective pipeline is from Israel through a sea pipeline from Israel to Lebanon, through Syria, to Turkey, to Europe, and perhaps through Cyprus's sea as well. I think Russia is in a unique position now, being able to speak to all parties, including Israel, to Turkey, to Iran, and now Russia has a base there. I think Russia is a player now in the Eastern Mediterranean, and I think due to their unique position of being able to speak to everyone, I think they could broker some sort of agreement, which could maybe possibly solve this Israeli-Palestinian problem, and also help with the commercial relations of building a pipeline up to Europe from Israel.
All right, folks. Now, if we think back on what both of our guests share with us today, we can see that both Ahmed and Levent draw important attention to Turkey's geopolitical position in the contemporary Mideast, which has brought it into, if we can put it, clashes with Israel. Now, not official clashes, nothing military in this sense, but definitely rhetorical and definitely political. Now, the long-term implications could be very negative for Mideast stability. However, as Levent mentioned in his closing comments, Russia has the ability to play a peacemaking role between these two increasing adversaries.
Trendstorm.
So, folks, if you want to sound off and share what you think about this, please send us an email at radio@sputniknews.com or find us on Facebook. And with this, we end this week's edition of Trendstorm, brought to you by Radio Sputnik. It was presented by me, Andrew Kurepko. Thank you for listening, and take care.